Welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of the All Lions Bang the Table podcast. As you can see, I got a special guest. He's the co-host of the Crunch Time YouTube stream, talking about all things Detroit sports. My guy, Jeff Iafrady. I'm looking forward to breaking down the Detroit Lions. He's a guy that's in the know, entertaining, knowledgeable, and definitely a trailblazer doing his thing on video, YouTube streams, and definitely breaking down all sports, not just the Lions. So you definitely want to check out the work that he does over there on YouTube and check out his, I thought that I broadcasted quite a bit. Jeff, every time I blink on YouTube, my notifications are going off. Jeff is firing it up. I know that the Lions this year definitely gave everybody a lot of great memories. So I just want to peel it back a little bit. Just in general, obviously your first time is now covering a team that won double-digit games, won some playoff games. As an adult now, obviously you're a longtime Detroit Lions fan. What was this season like for you as they got finally a rebuild that actually worked?
Oh, yeah, that's key right there, a rebuild that actually worked. It's funny because, you know, covering postseason football is one thing, but covering a deep postseason run is another thing because now it's a shorter time span before the next season. So I enjoy that. Personally, I do. I love that the Lions now are on a national stage, because even in the past, when you've won, you know, nine games and you sneak into the playoffs and they lose, or you win 11 games and you lose, this year feels different and the coverage has felt different. So for me as a fan, as someone who covers the team, it's been exciting, like to see not only the wins and the playoff run, but to see the young players contributing as much as they are, because John, that's a sign that this, in my opinion, is not going anywhere. Like these guys that contributed this year, rookies, young players, Brad Holmes, like it's sustainable. In prior experiences I've had as a fan, you knew it wasn't sustainable. You said, well, this is great. You're in the postseason. You lose. This feels like legitimately, and it's crazy to say this, but next year, got to get them back. You got to get a Super Bowl. And the talk about even achieving a Super Bowl, it's so much different. So thank God to Sheila. Thank God for Brad Holmes. And thank God for Dan Campbell. It's exciting.
Yeah, Jeff, you know what's been interesting too is that Brad Holmes, and we'll talk about his season-ending presser and the fun that that caused and all the reaction. And definitely in the second half, we'll talk about how the Lions level up in 2024, because like you said, that's the key. Now, it's not about just getting to the postseason. It's about getting there and now winning. Expectations are real, and they've changed, and now it's at an elite level, and that's the way it should be, and that's the sign of a good football team and a good front office, is when you raise the expectation where if you don't win the Super Bowl, it's a failure. So you look back and you say, how rewarding also has it been that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell came in and said, look, we're a draft and develop type team. We don't need to go out and get the top tier one free agents, even though guys like me, the national media, people are that want to kind of take the shortcut road are like, go get this guy, go get and pay 15 to 20 million every single year for the top free agent. Nope. Brad Holmes said, this is what we're doing. We're tearing it down and we're going to rebuild it through the draft. And I think for someone like me, we just never seen it before because of the sheer high number of busts that we've seen. You just never develop confidence that a general manager could hit on more than one or two guys in a single draft. But starting in 2021, Brad Holmes has put together some elite draft classes. It's been rewarding that he's been able to build a football team through the draft and actually develop guys that got better, not worse.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is, you hear any prior GM for the Lions say, we want to build through the draft, you get shook immediately. It's different now. There is a part of me that I get what he's saying, right? And they've built the foundation through the draft. But to me, you can't continue to just only build through the draft. You have to build through. I mean, look at the free agency signing they had last year, Dave Montgomery. Look at the impact he had. And now he's signed to a multi-year deal. There has to be a healthy mix of everything, right? Free agency, trade acquisitions. I mean, look at some of the best organizations. That's what they do. So I do believe with someone like Brad Holmes and his eye for talent, his talent evaluation, it's so off the charts that even I asked myself after the first year, is this sustainable? Yeah, it's sustainable. And I think he'll keep doing it. There's going to be a point where, and I think I would lean towards a midseason trade where you're going to have to get better. I know this year they weren't as aggressive. I know people like me were frustrated. I get it in the same time because, you know, at the end of the day, they had a good enough roster clearly to have a 17 point lead in the NFC Championship game. But going forward, if there are holes in your roster and now the expectations, like you said, have risen, you're going to have to make some moves. And I think Brad knows that just as well as anybody. I mean, he was with Les Snead. So we know Les Snead is not afraid to be aggressive. But with high expectations, that puts a lot of pressure on not only the roster, the coaching staff, but also Brad Holmes. Like, if you're chasing a Super Bowl and you're not being aggressive during the season or in free agency, like, it's not always going to fall in your favor. Hopefully I'm proven wrong, but that's just my opinion on it. So I get what Brad's trying to say, but yes, of course, you're going to need some help outside of the draft. It's just how it always is.
Yeah, and that's how you build a roster, is a young core, mix in some veterans. And I think what has also been rewarding is they've established a kind of, this is our mantra of the type of player we're looking for. Gritty, right, hardworking, maybe even overlooked. You know, specifically David Montgomery, a guy that maybe a little bit unheralded coming out of the draft, even in the league, doing some things with his team, but nobody's really talking about him, comes in. And that's why David Montgomery comes in and he says, look, I just have a real kinship toward Dan Campbell because they can relate. Dan Campbell wants guys that are not maybe the creme de la creme, the always a lot of those first round guys that need to be nurtured and coddled and told how great they are. They want guys that are going to dig their heels in, get to work, and can accept hard coaching. And I do think that there is a little bit of a misperception that Dan Campbell is, you know, this ultra nice head football coach. No, he lays into his players when there are mistakes or things going on. You can sense that he's a passionate football coach, but it resonates because, one, he developed respect quickly having played the game. And I think that he's such a personable, real person that players can, I think, buy in quickly and stay bought in maybe even longer than the average head coach. And I just think that, you know, when you look at Dan Campbell and what he's done, a lot of credit's deserved for the work that he's done to bring it where it is. But now you get to this point and you have this game and we fast forward. It's a 12-win year. You win two playoff games. How did you process the loss? Because we have now a week and a couple weeks past the devastating loss. We're in the week of the big game. So you've had some time to kind of review everything and kind of let the emotion settle. Was Dan Campbell at fault to a degree for some of the calls that he made in the game against the 49ers?
Well, this is where, you know, the Red Sea gets parted a little bit with Lions fans, because I saw Anzalone's letter he wrote, and he had some interesting things to say in there as well. One of those things was backing Dan Campbell for his decision to be aggressive and how he was shocked that before halftime they even kicked a field goal. And I'll say this, I get that's who Dan is. It's his identity. He's always going to be aggressive. But my question, John, and this is what we'll see in the future, it's easy to make those decisions. In the argument as well, there's a talent discrepancy. Like, that's why you have to be aggressive. But what happens when there's a point where you're on par with these teams talent-wise? And I'm not even trying to come at Dan as head coach. I mean, they were an underdog going to that game on the road, and he had a 17-point lead at halftime. But there is a part of it where Dan's going to have to adapt. Adaptability is everything in life. And in certain situations like that, you have a 17-point lead on the road. You're an underdog. Like, there has to be a point in time where Dan thinks, you know what? Is the risk worth the reward? And is, especially if it doesn't go right, is it worth dealing with? And of course, I'm not saying that the players are always going to back him. But I'm curious going forward, John, is when there is more talent, when there's higher expectations. Like, we were happy to even be in the NFC Championship game. Let's be real. So when they lost, it stinks and I'll never get over it. But at the end of the day, we're like, hey, I expected a playoff win, and that's about it. So the fact that they went even farther, like, I'm sitting here going, I'm good. I got more than I asked for. But what happens when we expect a Super Bowl? Now these decisions are under more scrutiny, and that's when players, and I don't want to even go there, but potentially players, there could be more of a divide. Like, listen, we're more talented. We should be in the Super Bowl. And I'm curious how Dan handles that next year. I think Dan's a great head coach. I think for any sustainable product, sustainable success in the NFL, you need to have a great coach. And Dan Campbell's a big reason why they won a ton of games. But there has to be a point in time where situationally he has to be better. That's all I'm saying. And I think we'll see next year with that, with higher expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. And Anzalone said it. Look, guys, remember too, just because we take a look at certain plays or decisions made doesn't mean that we just want to throw out Dan Campbell. But at those moments, he's inexperienced. And you remember too that Anzalone and the team maybe even thought, wait a minute, what's going on in the second quarter? They're at the just beyond the 2-yard line, and he decides to actually kick the field goal, which is a little bit different. than what the players are used to. They were potentially thinking, you saw in that game, if you go back and watch it, the offense was staying out there. And you see Dan Campbell kind of weighing it out a little bit, thinking, and he wanted to take that 17-point halftime lead. What would have happened had he decided to, hey, let's punch it in and go up even more? So he did veer a little bit from what he's known in that decision. So I think Dan Campbell will learn, and I think that if you gave him some truth serum, he'd say, yeah, you know, a couple of those decisions I might have changed. Probably in my mind, that decision and probably the one with the fourth and two, he'd remain and go for it. But the one in which he decided to not tie the game or not bring it the opportunity to get within one score down to 7 points, I think he's going to regret, because if you'd miss it like they did, it makes it near impossible if the 49ers, you know, get up by two possessions. So it was interesting, but I do believe if there's a coach that's going to learn from those mistakes, be more adaptable, I think it'll be Dan Campbell, because just like the players are going to learn and adapt, so will Dan Campbell. And I think those moments in those key moments when you do have improved talent, if you have a better defense, if you have a kicker that can no doubt be comfortable that you send him out there between 45 and 55 yards, then I think that you go out there. And plus you're on the road. Maybe if they're playing within the comfy confines at Ford Field, there is more of a decision, more of a thought process to take some points. So we'll see in bigger games now, because next year, Jeff, you know, it's a first place schedule. The Lions are required now to step it up. They're going to have to adapt. And I'm curious, what was your reaction to what you heard from Brad Holmes? Because it's interesting in regards to the fact that he's basically said, maybe the aggression level in free agency might not be there in terms of numbers, but I do think that they could look for, you know, tier two free agents or guys that they believe fit the mold. But I would be surprised if they paid anyone long term $10 million or more. I think they're going to go for guys in between the $5 to $10 million annual range in certain spots. But I look at it and you hear Brad Holmes and he says, hey, look, don't panic when we make moves. Don't react so emotionally to the things that we're doing, because we're trying to be sustainable as well. Now, that sends a little bit of concern to some, because, you know, that probably means that a big chunk of the free agent, the big chunk of the salary cap might not go towards the high-end free agent. It's going to go towards keeping their own. And I know that it was a good football team. I know it was double-digit wins, one game away from the big game and things like that, but the roster still needs to improve. What did you take away from what he thought about, you know, roster construction and what he could do this offseason? Because you could read it a lot of different ways in regards to his relaxed statement.
Yeah, I mean, he was – you didn't catch a stray, did you, John? Did you catch a stray?
No strays for me, man. It's good.
I knew I could count it. He was coming after the media, and it was funny. I think for Brad, I get where he was coming from, and it's on brand, right? Like him talking about his plan for free agency, I wouldn't dispute it, and I actually agree with him. I don't think you should go out and sign a Justin Matabuke or a Danielle Hunter. I just don't think that's realistic. You got guys coming down the pipeline, they're going to command a lot of money. And that's credit to Brad for finding these guys, all pro players that you're going to have to extend. And that's not including Jared Goff, who they're going to have to extend as well. I could see Brad kind of going the same route he went last year. I know Cam Sutton was $11 million. I could see maybe a signing like a Leonard Floyd, someone that's, like you said, not an A signing, but maybe like a B signing. You can get him at a discount to market. That's who Brad is. And I do think that's the smart thing to do. I do. And whatever you can address, you can always address it in the season by trading for a player. I think that's smart. I think when some GMs, and I don't think Brad's like this, you get a taste of success in that off season. You go, we got to get back. And you spend the money crazy, and then it hurts you, long term. But Brad's thinking, he always said this, right? I'm thinking 5 years down the line. I think this is the correct way to approach this off season, right? Like, okay, we made the NFC Championship game, but we made it because of the core players that I drafted. So it makes perfect sense. I mean, you got Amon-Ra, Panay, these guys are going to have to extend. I will see what happens with Jonah, Jared Goff. So his focus should be on those guys. And then through the draft, ideally you sign a corner. I would hate for, you know, your number one corner next year to be a rookie. So I think ideally you go out and sign another corner, but maybe it's a Stephon Gilmore. Maybe it's somebody that's, you know, not going to command a ton of money. So I do think this is the correct approach to kind of build for a sustainable success, unlike other teams that failed to do so.
Yeah. Put your GM hat on. How do the Lions level up? Do they target defense and one or two cornerbacks in the draft? Would you look at free agency? What would be your strategy in terms of leveling up? Because you're going to have to. You can't go into 2024 with a first place schedule with the same level defense. You see it. The Lions did not have a top 10 defense. They got better. They were in 2022 one of the worst defenses in the National Football League. Now you step up, you get up into, I think they ended up finishing the season 19th in overall defense. So you got better, but you had glaring holes in a couple spots. You didn't have an interior defensive line presence consistently throughout, and which impacted Aiden Hutchinson. You put more of the focus on him and made it easier for teams to take him away in certain spots. And then you had two cornerbacks that I don't even know how they made it to that far in the postseason with the way in which the defensive backs played. But here it gives you, you got to give the coaching staff a little bit of credit because they saw a leak, a big leak with Cam Sutton and Vildor. And obviously they went away from Jerry Jacobs and his injury cost him the rest of his season. And he didn't finish out the year with the Lions. So you recognize, okay, what's the strategy, which is give up a bunch of yards, but tighten up in the red zone. They were able to make that work by blitzing more, bringing the pressure and taking advantage of the strengths at safety, which really you do have to give Aaron Glenn and that defense a little bit of credit. Not many will because they just kept seeing Cam Sutton getting torched week after week after week. And, you know, in Detroit, there is a little bit of fondness for a more dominant defense, but I think it's coming. I think with the changes that you're hearing online this week regarding the defensive line coaches and new defensive pass game coordinator potentially coming in, there's going to be changes to help this defense. But put on your GM hat. How would you strategize to level up this crew of talent?
I think the number one concern, I mean, if you look at this defense, and yeah, the bend don't break approach, it was great, but look at the two teams in the Super Bowl. You can look at what they do offensively, but both teams have great defenses. I have no questions about the offense. This is going to be another top five offense next year. It's just how it's been with Jared Goff and a healthy offensive line and with the weapons they have. It's, can they get close to a top 10 defense? That to me is the last question mark on this roster. I think if they had a top 10 defense, they'd be in the Super Bowl because you wouldn't give up all the points they gave up in the second half. So that's what matters, giving up a ton of yards, which starts obviously at corner, but it also starts on the defensive line. And Aleem McNeil, great year this year. Aiden Hutchinson, he's a beast. We know who he is. But if there's a game where Aiden can't have the type of impact he typically has, they're screwed. So they need to go out and find somebody that can generate pressure, that can generate one-on-ones, that can command attention. And by default, that helps your secondary. And you got to get a veteran in that corner. That's a part of the secondary that they desperately need. I like who they have at safety, right? Like you got Brian, if he's going to have a big year next year, Kirby Joseph. We'll see what happens with CJ Gardner-Johnson. But no way in hell, heck, that I'm allowing Cam Sutton to be CB1 next year. You have to go address that. If that's Stephon Gilmore, if that's someone they sign in free agency, so be it. They got to draft a rookie, but again, like with higher expectations, you can't afford to play rookies, especially at corner. I mean, not everyone can be Sauce Gardner. It's going to take some time for these guys to develop. So hopefully they double dip, they get one in free agency, and they draft a corner, and they got to get an edge at some point. And I wouldn't even, honestly, depth on the offensive line is another part of this team they do need. I know Colby last year, he was a little, you know, he didn't look ready. He's still a long way for him to go, for him to develop, but they need a backup center, but somebody preferably that can play guard, a more versatile guy that can play multiple positions, because with Frank especially, he's kind of the linchpin on this offensive line. If you lose Frank, things get bad very quickly. So ideally, you get some new corners, preferably a rookie and a veteran. You get another edge rusher. Maybe, again, you double dip, draft, and sign. And then I think you address some more depth in that offensive line. I think this team can seriously go out there, not only make a Super Bowl, but could contend for one. I do believe that. They're about 2 to 3 positions away, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's you're right. That's what makes it so interesting to me, in that I kind of lean into the push all in and maybe be a little bit more aggressive and find guys, because look, it's just so tough. I'm just going off of the old model in regards to now Jared Goff's going to command a big salary pretty soon. St. Brown, Penei Sewell, Aiden Hutchinson. You got guys that are going to start commanding north of $15 million annual salary. So I think that 24 is the year you pinpoint and say, okay, let's go all in. F the picks, do what you got to do and get 4 or 5 really good players and push all in. I would have respect for the Lions if they did that, But I also understand that he's also got to preach sustainability and try to be a football team that has a chance. So there's that delicate balance. I would not be somebody that would get all riled up if they sacrificed the draft to get good players. But when you look at the draft, Brad Holmes has kind of been known to maneuver around. This is probably a year where I could see Brad Holmes moving up a little bit. If you find a cornerback, maybe Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, or the hot new cornerback that people are talking about from the Senior Bowl, Mitchell, who shut down Roman Wilson in a practice. If there's a player that they fall in love with, I would be okay with sacrificing a little bit of next year's draft to move up for some players. If you're going to be aggressive, maybe not in free agency, maybe you stockpile and even try and do your best maybe this year again to get two first rounders if you target them, because it does give you a little bit of flexibility in regards to your development, getting that fifth year under team control. So it'll be interesting to see. But what would you think about the draft strategy? Do you think they'll stay at 29? Because the talent level, you know, you start maybe getting into linemen, you start getting into guys that, you know, will have impact, but maybe not be so immediate. What do you think? Should they move up?
So it's funny. We had Nick Faber from Honolulu Blues on the show the other day, and he brought up the potential of trading back, which I didn't really think about. I mean, you assume that, you know, it's the drafts in Detroit. Like, could you foresee Brad potentially not picking in the first round in Detroit? But I do think that's on the table. If I'm giving you my honest opinion, John, I think they trade up because, especially for this draft, I'm quality over quantity. I want quality players over quantity of draft picks or quantity of players. And I think Brad's thinking that way too. I think me and you were in lockstep there, especially if you're at 29 and you could trade up to the 20 mark, or even maybe the teens, hell, and you can get somebody that's a good player right off the bat. I'm all for it. We're past the, you know, you have 6-7 players coming in, 8-9 players coming in. Like, this team is a good football team. You got to patch a couple holes, but this ship looks good for the most part. So I think that should be the draft strategy for Brad Holmes. Now, what they should do in the first round is really the part that gets interesting, because corner, I think every year you find good corners later in the draft. That's just how it usually works. I would prefer a defensive lineman in the first round. I mean, even if you could get you know, the Powers out of Oregon, if you could get him, if he falls to you, you could take him in the first round. But yeah, I would say, if I had to give you a guess right now, and this may change, John, I would say they trade up and go get somebody, because quality players to me right at this point in time over quantity of players. Just get me some dudes. That's all I ask.
Get some studs. And you got to remember too, this football team can make a lot of different moves on day two and day three. Sure. Yeah, it would be wild. Could you imagine we're all sitting there waiting all day? Even if they select at 29, that means 10:45 or 11 p.m. at night after a long day. That's going to be a tough grind to wait it out. So we'll see how it happens. I think everybody in the media would love it if he traded up, because we can get all our work done, call it a day. Could you imagine? 11 p.m., that's when we got to start the coverage. Who is this player? What does it mean? Oh, my God.
And they draft Kool-Aid McKinstry?
Yes.
Boom, right there. Kool-Aid, there's
your name,
huh?
Yeah, I just started my film review, man. He stands out too. Yes. So you look at some of these players and you're like, okay, man, there's some talent out there to be had to improve this team. But let's be pessimistic here for a moment. I know you're optimistic. You're definitely a guy that sees the bright side of things. If things don't work out in 2024, and heaven forbid that doesn't happen, but you know, you never know. The National Football League, look, Brad Holmes had to settle the fan base down because Dan Campbell riled it up by how devastated he was. And he said, it's going to be twice as hard to return. It could be our one shot. I don't believe that either. I know Dan said he doesn't believe it. But the history of the National Football League, there is so much that determines what which teams advance. There's such a fine line between winning and losing. It can be just as small as an official call, a missed. You saw in the early rounds of the postseason, those that got eliminated all had kickers that missed. You could do all the work and have one kicker ruin your season. So I'll ask you this. If there was a reason or something that would happen that would preclude or prevent the Lions from getting to the Super Bowl and winning next year, what would raise the most alarms for you?
I think the number one thing for me would be either an injury to Jared or significant regression. because he's really a big part of what they do offensively. Of course, you could bring up the offensive line, but it's got to be Jared. I mean, besides that, and or the defense not taking the necessary step forward, because I mean, even once you get to the final four teams, now you're getting into a top 10 defense, or at least a top 12 defense. That's where it is. So for me, if there's two reasons or some reason why, I don't even want to go down the rabbit hole of Dan being too aggressive. I don't want to go there, because that's a whole nother discussion. It could be a reason. And it could cost him some games, but I do have a confidence in Dan's coaching ability. I think whether he's aggressive or not, they're going to win double digit games next year, but injuries. And this is why when Dan said it, I get what he was saying, because the NFL isn't always linear. There's injuries, like you brought up, there's kickers, referee calls. There's so many things that happen that have to go your way. It's just how it works. It's not a bad thing. You don't have to apologize for it when you do make playoff runs. But the difference is Brad Holmes being the general manager of this football team gives me more confidence that this team can return to the NFC Championship game. You even go back to the Titans when they made an AFC Championship game. Like, you knew that wasn't sustainable. Like, you knew when they did it, you're like, okay, this is a one and done franchise for this. The Lions to me are different. But it'd have to be an injury to Aiden Hutchinson going down, Penei Sewell, Frank Ragnow, Jared Goff. To me, that's the only thing keeping this team from returning. I think they have all the pieces and or the defense significantly regressing, which I don't see happening. So I think it all falls in their favor. They just got to make it out of there healthy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Huge that Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are going to return, huge, man. It's great. We've been talking to Jeff Iafrady, co-host of the Crunch Time YouTube stream, covering all Detroit sports, doing big things. And you definitely have heard his name, seen him around the interwebs, talking about sports, not only the Lions, the Pistons. Definitely in the know regarding the team that kind of has disappointed us here. Jeff, I'm curious, what got you into sports, and where did you develop your passion for broadcasting? You can see it with the work that you do, the research, well-researched information you bring, the passion that you bring to the table. How'd you get involved in this game? Where did you develop your love of sports?
Well, number one, I appreciate John for having me, and I appreciate you always, because you're my guy. But for me, sports has always come naturally. It's funny because my dad, obviously, he only loves football, of course, and that's his favorite sport. But for a while there, he was disinterested in what the Lions are doing, and can you blame him? I mean, for a long time there. So growing up, I wasn't the biggest Lions fan. I watched Lions games, but the Pistons, when I was born in 2000, the Pistons won in 04. And my brothers played basketball. I played basketball. So that's where my attention was always, with basketball, what the Pistons were doing. Chauncey's my favorite player from the Pistons organization entirely. So I grew up a Pistons fan. As I got older, when I started playing football, I appreciated the game. And I knew I was going to play D1. I knew I wasn't going to play in college. I knew I was going to go to the pros. So I wanted to talk about the game. I wanted to be around the game. That's what I always wanted to do. And it's funny, I went to Specs Howard School of Media Arts, and that was for radio in general, not just for this broadcasting. But when I got there, I realized to myself, I'm like, man, I don't want to be a disc jockey. I want to be able to talk sports. This is my passion. I love debates. I love having conversations. I think having conversations and debates is healthy, unless you're, you know, two complete bimbos and you disagree and get personal. But besides that, I think it's great. I love what I do. And for people like you, John, that give me the opportunity to do it, and you join me on my programs, it is awesome. So I love it, and it's something that is always burning inside me, the passion. It's all I do, really. I don't really watch anything else but sports at this point. Like, that's kind of where I'm completely invested, and I wouldn't want it any other way. And the fact that now I'm seeing success with the Lions as I'm starting to kind of grow into my own and as a personality, it's such a blessing. The timing is perfect, John. It really is.
Yeah, it really was. And I agree. I just think that, you know, sometimes you say football players need luck, teams need luck. Sometimes in this kind of situation in the media, you need a little bit of luck. For me, I gravitated toward podcasts always when Adam Carolla started it. I said, okay, this medium, if it's done well, is so much so the way people should do it. I think that we just get to have real conversations, not broken up by a lot of commercials. We can have talks about a lot of different things and go a lot of different ways. So once I started seeing what the potential of podcasts are, it's amazing. And now guys like yourself that have taken it to the next level and made video podcasts super popular. I always give credit to those that make me test myself and do things outside my comfort zone. Never in a million years would I think I'd cut up video and put my face on the internet over and over and over. But I said, you know what? Gucci did it. I can do it too. I'm not that hard on the camera. So I respect that not only did you take something that you're passionate about, but you're pushing it to the next level. And to have conversations with you these last several months has been fun. To see things from a different lens has always been great. So now that you're doing it on your own, what's it been like? How are you feeling about it? You guys are firing it up. Tell me about Crunch Time. What's it about? What's your mission? I know you're trying to put my ass out of business. It won't happen, but I appreciate the competition because it makes me go, darn it, these guys are fire. Okay, I thought, okay, they're going to fire it up. You guys are firing it up 4 or 5 times a week. I'm like, God darn it, I got to work on a Thursday afternoon on a day off. I'm like, you know what? I tell this guy, fire it up. I got to fire it up too. Even on my day off, I'm talking to you about sports.
Yeah, and I love it. It is. It's healthy competition. Trust me, I feel that same way about other people as well. Like, I think I need motivation. This is how always I was wired. I'll make up stuff just to frustrate myself to want to work harder. But it's funny. I'm lucky to have people like you, John. I mean, we're all Doc Stans over at Crunch Time. We love you so much. We're excited to have you on today, actually. And I think what me, Booter, Lucas, and Mike, our mission is to bring a different flavor to this type of thing where it's a much more come out and hang, but we're going to try and educate you. And hopefully you leave the show learning something. That's really what I've always tried to do. And I think that's what the guys want to do as well. It's be entertaining, be knowledgeable. You know, it's, you have to have both, right? You can't just get up there. And I'm not going to tell you every reason why I think the Lions will be good and not make you laugh once or twice while I'm doing it. I think that's important. So hopefully it'll be a community. And I think it's starting to be one where people can come hang out. It's 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. weekdays on our YouTube channel, Crunch Time with Jeff Ifrady and Booner. You come hang out, and whether you're off work, you get a drink, maybe you're eating dinner, come hang with the boys, and hopefully we can give you more of a feel. And who's inspired that and really set that tone is Pat McAfee. I think he really turned it from more of a professional side to, hey, we can do it this way and have success, so I want to give credit to him. But it's a lot of fun, and hopefully we can just keep doing this forever.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying is that those that do it at a high level gives you hope that, you know what, there are alternative platforms in which information in sports can be disseminated outside of traditional. And look, we still always respect those that do it the traditional way, but there is new digital media out there that is bringing sports coverage in a new, refreshing, enlightening way. And I think that a lot of people have gravitated toward it based on the ease in which you can do it, but it still takes work. But you boys are doing it. And every day, 8 to 10. Okay, so for the novice, not like myself or others that know about all this, for those that don't know how to get to your platform, walk them through it. How do they get to your digital platform and find your show step by step?
So I'll say this. We're on YouTube. You can look up on YouTube, Crunch Time with Jeff Ifrady and Booner. We're on YouTube. We're on every other platform at Official CT Pod. That's our ad for all platforms, Instagram, Facebook, X now, and not Twitter, X, I guess it is. And then, of course, TikTok, it's at Official Crunch Time. So we post all clips, real format, all over the place. Obviously, we deliver news and give people updates what's happening around Detroit sports, because we're not just a strictly podcast. We'd like to at least, you know, put news out there, be kind of informative at the same time. So you can follow us on all social media platforms, get your latest Detroit sports news, get clips from the shows, or you can go to our YouTube channel. We'll be live on there every day of the week, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And of course, we're on all podcast platforms except for Apple. I got to get that situated. I'm having some troubles with it. But besides that, we're on everything else. Crunch Time with Jeff Ifrady and Booner. So you can check it out there.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us on the latest Bang the Table All Lions podcast. We appreciate your support. You can find us on all podcast platforms. Thanks, everybody, for visiting All Lions. We'll bring you great guests like Jeff and others that are passionate about the Detroit Lions. It's only the beginning, like Brad Holmes said. This isn't the end of the Detroit Lions. While it's the end of the season, guess what? We quickly flip the page to the offseason. And here at All Lions, great guys like Jeff as well over at Crunch Time, they'll be there to break it all down. Can't wait to talk to you guys next time on the latest edition of the All Lions Bang the Table podcast.